Father, indeed we exalt you tonight. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this privilege of fellowshipping with you and with one another. Thank you for your awesome presence in this place. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for what you have done over the past 23 years. Thank you for what you will do tonight. Thank you for what you will do this weekend. Thank you for the everlasting, powerful word of God. Thank you because I'm enabled to speak as your mouthpiece and minister as of a power that only you can supply. Thank you because we step into a lifetime of favor. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Just while you are standing, I finished preaching, and I was thinking to myself, I'm just communing with God in my heart, and I was thinking, I didn't go through the things I wanted to. And God said, no, you didn't have to. He said all those scriptures and things you wanted to go through, people don't even remember most of it. He said all they need is one. And they just need to lay hold on one scripture and get it right. And it's enough to turn their lives around. And I'm growing. Amen. I'm growing. I'm learning to just follow what it says. And strangely tonight, I want to pray for somebody or some people now, and after also some other set of people. Somebody went to a party, and he got to the party. He was at the back, and they were serving food, but they started serving from the front. I'm just saying things as I pick them up, and then they served the food, and then as they almost reached him, it finished. So the next time he sat in front, and then he started serving from the back, and then he almost reached him, then he finished, then he sat in the middle next time, and then he started serving from the back and the front, and when they almost reached the middle, it finished. And I felt all of this I didn't prepare for, believe me. I felt God was saying somebody feels like favor is definitely not in their own destiny. That it's almost like when it's your turn to get something, it finishes. That you feel like you are bad luck. In fact, the kind of people that will tell you sometimes that it's better you go alone. If I go with you, we will not get that thing. Because it just doesn't happen for me. I have something that doesn't work. Just go alone. Don't let me go with you. Because when it's my turn, it just finishes. Something will just go wrong. God says that ends even tonight. I want to pray with you. Just come very quickly. If that describes you, that's your perception. That it looks like every time I'm about to get faint, it looks like I don't. You know, when some will put it this way. They say, I have no luck. That's what they will say. I have no luck. Man, I just don't have any luck. I also thought I would say to you, take all the picture now. Do everything now. Okay, so then. You stay. After that, the movement distracts. Okay? Distracts. So it's the same me. I'm not different. And I won't change. You know, when people are getting married, they can change 6 times in one day. It's the same cloth that we wear. In fact, the one I wore from Lagos today, I wanted to continue to wear it. You know, so it's me. So have you taken everything now? Front, side? Should I turn? You're fine now. Hallelujah. Amen. Please come. Please come. Please come. God is saying everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. You'll be singled out. So what used to be, the opposite now happens. Where people will single you out. They will pick you out in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your mighty hand is upon her. Just as it was upon Ezra, Nehemiah. Now, by the name of Jesus and by the power of God, every thought even is broken. First, we remove the thought. And we declare the favor of God. Yeah. The favor of God. The favor of God. The favor of God is your portion from today. It's your portion from today. It's your portion from today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because your mighty hand rests upon her. Ooh, yeah, I feel that. That's strong. Rest upon her. Break the fall. Don't try to hold them up. That's the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. The mighty hand of God comes upon you. Man kredishta bahata. Lebroso fredishta brahande. Lebroko. Just lay her down. Lay her down. Lay her down. Lay her down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the mighty hand of God. That's the mighty hand of God. That's the mighty hand of God. I call it God's anesthesia. So, if I was just saying that we're going to do training for our protocol unit on what to do, that don't hold the people. In fact, try not to touch them. Just break the fall. Breaking the fall means the person is falling already. Then you just try to break it so it doesn't hit the floor hard. That's all. But don't try to touch them before then. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sit down. Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Pastor Funke, just sit. Don't worry. Leave her alone. Let. Sometimes God's hand is on people for a long time. You know, when some services and the people will get up and go down again. So I said the problem is they are getting up too quickly. God isn't done yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 5, are you there? So over this weekend, I believe we'll talk about tonight. God's plan for your increase. Okay, we'll talk about God's plan for your increase tonight. Because God wants you to increase. Can I have an amen? Amen. God wants you to make progress. Can I have an amen? Amen. I believe tomorrow night we'll be talking about how to increase in favor, in God's favor. And then by Sunday we'll be talking about the everlasting favor. So we'll finally reach the text that Pastor BJ gave us by the Spirit of God on Sunday morning by God's grace. Amen. So Psalm 5. And tonight I have just a few minutes. Psalm 5. Look at verse 12. It said, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." Well, for those who are English students, after it says that you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, it puts what we call a semicolon. You know, every time I say these things, I feel like my English teacher will be proud. You know, he puts a semicolon and he says, "Do you teach English?" Is English? Eh? Is English? Okay, so I want to be sure. Uh-huh. So he says, "You, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Now, I like the old King James says, "Surely." Can I hear it say, "Surely"? He says, "Surely you will bless the righteous." It means that, and the word bless means to empower to make progress. Okay, to empower to make progress. So it says, "Surely you will empower the righteous to make progress." Then he puts a semicolon, and then he says, "With favor you will surround him as with a shield." The semicolon means that what he has said, that is with favor, the second sentence, is related to the first sentence. They are not separate things. They are not separate ideas. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what is he basically trying to say to us? He says, "Surely you will bless or empower the righteous to make progress." How? "With favor you will surround him as with a shield." Can I hear you say, "With favor he will surround me as with a shield"? Remember, tonight I'm talking about God's plan for your increase. So God's plan for your increase, because you are the righteous, is that he surrounds you with favor. That's how he helps you to make progress. He ensures that there's favor all around you. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. And we'll read from verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2 and from verse 6. Well, let's read from verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places." Verse 7, my emphasis. It says that, or so that, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Okay? So it says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. The Amplified says in verse 7, he said he did this. So all of redemption, all of that redemption plan, he said he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, which is his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. So really, the first one tells us that God's plan for my increase, God's plan for your increase, is that we'll enjoy favor. Is that favor will help us to make progress. We'll get to places and people will just do things for us, like we have heard earlier on. Okay, years ago, we were looking for a place to get to rent in Lagos. And I had an agent, and the agent introduced me to another agent, or he introduced me to a place. And then that place had another agent, and I went to view the place. And when I first went there, because, you know the way they do things all over the place, they will keep taking you all over. I've told them my specifications, but they will waste your time. Because they will take you to places, you say, after all what I've told you, why did you even bother to bring me here? You know, I've told you it must be this. You shouldn't even have wasted my time at all. Someone would even be asking you for transport money to go and show you the place that you didn't want. So anyway, I went to this place. I saw it, and the place was under renovation. It was a big house that the man was breaking up into flats, and it needed a lot of renovation. They had removed all the ceiling inside of the house. Wires were sticking out everywhere, so it was barely just starting renovation. And as I stood there and looked at everywhere, checked out all the rooms, they were very big for Lagos standard. Very big rooms. And all the rooms were in suits. So they all had their toilet and bathroom, each room. And I thought, it's good. I kept, imagining when they put away all the wires and all of that, if you put back the ceiling. And I kept thinking to myself, wow, this is very big. This is a place we can actually stay in until we have to get our own place. This should be comfortable enough. It should be able to accommodate us for long enough. And as I looked at all of that, I began to speak to the agent that was in charge of the place. And I said to him, okay, so how much? And then he told me and all that. And I said, okay, fine. When would the place be ready? Then the man grinned. He grinned and he said, you have to pay. Now, that's what they had warned me about. You know, in Lagos, I don't know what's happening now in Ibadan, but in Lagos, the agent would have collected from 20 people money. And then you all start fighting each other eventually, and you won't even find the agent again. You know, so who owns the place, you will not know. So this guy now shows me this uncompleted place, and he says to me, you have to pay first. He said, because I'll be honest with you, it's what you pay that we're going to use to finish up the place. You know, when you are going to Lagos, you know, in those days, and you're about to enter Lagos, you see three statues. Three statues standing there in the middle of the road. They say those three statues says, Maya Didirin. The second one says, Maya Ode. Third one says, Maya Swegbe. Ekolo, who are you? Okay? So, I thought to myself, no way. I was born in the night, but not last night. There is no way I will give this guy money for this place that is like this, you know. And then all of a sudden, I stopped and I looked at the man. And I said, I don't know why, but I like you. I said, I will pay. You know, he must be using something, have you? But all he was using was his favor. We paid him everything went well. We lived there, you know, for a few years. Not only did everything go well, we became friends. That's with that agent. Not only did we become friends, I personally introduced him to people and at least 7 properties that he managed out of that relationship, including outside the country that he managed the property. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what made me go against everything I knew, go against everything I believed? And I just said to myself, I said to him straight, I said, I don't know why, but I like you. I discovered later, believer, it was, I didn't know any of that. I was just meeting him for the first time. And I said, I don't know why, but I like you and I will do what you said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what the scripture is describing. There are some scriptures that I like to read and pray over every day. This is one of them. Psalm 5 verse 12. It says, surely you will bless the righteous, and with favor you will encompass him as with a shield. Encompass also means that that favor is all over. It means when you look in front, there's favor. When you look behind you, there's favor. When you look to your sides, there's favor. It means that when you are not even seeing it, because if it's behind you, you can't see, there's favor working on your behalf. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that means that when you are not even there, you are not aware, people are discussing you, and they are discussing how to favor you. That is God's plan for your increase. Are you with me? Listen, when we read the Bible, we have to be complete Bible students. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, isn't it? It says we should study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to study in totality. So it's not just that we read one little bit of a Bible, read another little bit of a Bible. We read all of the Bible. We study it very well. We have to look at it very well so that we divide it all very well. And when you start reading in the Bible, you discover also, for instance, that God encourages hard work. God encourages, rather, I don't like the term hard work. I prefer diligence. God prefers diligence. He prefers that you are good, that you do your work well, you are diligent, and you are skillful at the things you do. He said, do you see a man that is good at what he does? He will stand before king and not before mean men if he's diligent at what he does. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He talks about the fact that if a man is stealing, let him not steal anymore. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28. He said, but let him walk with his hands, that he may have to give. Hallelujah. So, because many times people also begin to turn this around. One of the things you see, for instance, is that when we read Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 almost describes to us that all of redemption was put together so that in the ages to come, God might be able to display the exceeding riches of his grace. That another word for grace is what? Is unmerited favor. And how does God show that unmerited favor? In his kindness towards us. So he just does this. He just blesses us. And what I'm trying to say is this, is that many times people have mixed that up. And they have taught to themselves that grace means that I do nothing. Grace means that I don't have to walk. I just pray. And once I can pray in tongues, everything is going to fall on my lap. It's not so. What it means is that grace amplifies your effort. Can I have an amen? Grace takes the little that you have done and makes it much. Grace takes the much you have done and makes it exceedingly great. Are you still there? So, in a sense, you know, you say, Olongbogo fole. It's not exactly so. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not exactly so. It's not ole in that sense. It just means that he amplifies your effort. Hallelujah. He makes sure that the things you are doing, do the best that you can. You know what the supernatural really is? Is that his super comes upon your natural. And it turns out to be supernatural. Are you still there? So we do what we have to do. We work as best as we can. However, something still seems to shine upon our labor. In Job chapter 1 and verse 9, the devil was talking to God. He said, well, does Job fear God for nothing? Does he fear God for nothing? He was saying that there are benefits for people that fear God. Okay, and what did he say? He said, number one, you have put a hedge around him.
He said, number two, you put a hedge around his household. Listen, that means that these are the benefits that follow you and I because we fear God. Number one, you put a hedge around him. Number two, you put a hedge around his household. Number three, you have blessed the work of his hand. No, you put a hedge around everything that he has. And then number four, you bless what? The work of his hands. It means he's walking. Are you hear what I'm saying? He's walking. But there is a blessing that comes upon the work of his hands that makes it to be different from everybody else's work. Are you hear what I'm saying? When God was speaking about Bezalel, there were other people who were craftsmen. But God said, I've given Bezalel special skill. Are you hearing me? Listen, I'm sure many of you have been to, you know, hairdresser, tailor. You know, you've been to hairdresser that you do your hair, you get home and you remove everything. You understand what I'm saying? You do it. After 3 hours, you were there, they were making the hair. Then you get home and you start removing everything, loosening it. You just spent 3 hours plus money. And yet you remove everything. Why? Because something is just wrong. And there are those that you go to, you say, it just gets it right. Are you hearing me, anybody? You know, when there's a tailor somewhere that my wife uses, and my wife can sew. So she's it's like somebody who can cook. If a man can cook, the wife will struggle. You know, because anything you cook is, you know, there's only when they take a spoon or something, they will tell you, there's salt, there's shrimp, there's iru, there's just one spoon. You can analyze the content of that food. And there are some men that have no clue. Anything you give them is fantastic. Then you can run and say, are you with me? I said, are you there? So when you see people like that, and there are just some people that stand out, and I'm saying that the favor of God, in fact, sometimes even covers their mistakes. That even when they do something, and they themselves are thinking that what I've done is not enough, it is amplified. And it looks way better than it really is. Are you still with me? Go to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. So what we need to understand is that we need to know how God works. The scripture says some people have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. What that means, lasciviousness is like when you have no control. You just live life anyhow. You let everything go, everything happen around you. And you say, the grace covers it all. No. His grace doesn't cover it all. You need to do certain things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is your part first. He will bless the work of your hands. Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, look, I am the least of all the apostles. He said, but by his grace, I am what I am. I have labored more than they all. But how did I get that labor done? He said, it's by his grace. Meaning that there is a grace that helps you to function. Are you still with me? You know, I told people when we were in medical school, there are times I would go. I had so many things that I did, including ministry. But the days that I come back in the evening, at night sometimes, and I come back and I carry the book. And I say, I want to read tonight. I don't usually read overnight, but the day I get up and I say, I'm going to read, there is an unction to read that day. And I will be there. If I'm there till 2 or whatever, usually I would not like to go too much into the morning because I want to wake up to pray. But by the time I'm going to 2, I'm not going to sleep a wink. Are you with me? I won't sleep a wink because I'm functioning under something. I was remembering the other day as I took a prayer, a tongue stroll. And I was remembering how people used to struggle, you know, to stay awake. Somebody would come, early on in med school, I remember a lady that would come into class. And she would usually sit in front of the class. Many people are sitting there to read. And she'll come in. When she comes in, there's ceremony. You know, when she arrives, ceremony, those who will come with blankets, come with all sorts, come with water flask, some come with this. You know, so she will first do the ceremony of laying down everything she has brought. She wants to study. Then the next ceremony is the drinking of coffee ceremony. And when she opens the flask with the coffee, that smell will go all around the place. So it's very strong coffee. You will all smell it. You know, as they say, wake up and smell the coffee. You will all smell that coffee. And then she will drink the coffee in readiness for her studying. But about 30 minutes, 1 hour later, she's sleeping. Are you with me? There's some guy one day when in the reading room, and he was reading. This guy was reading. And then sleep began to knock on the door. And then, you know, he will nod. And then he said, lie, lie. Then he got up. And he sat on the chair. Sat on the back of the chair. So the back where you rest, he sat on that. He put his feet on the chair. And then he was reading. Then he started nodding off again. Then he said, lie, lie. Then he stood up. The book was on the table in front of him. He stood up. And he was reading. The next we knew, we heard a loud bang. He had fallen asleep and he fell, wah, on the table. There's no grace. Are you with me? There was no grace to do what he was trying to do. Are you still there? Psalm 71. Look at verse 7. He said, I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. I become as a wonder to many. Remember what we're trying to describe tonight is that this is God's plan for your increase. Is that even though you are doing everything you know how to do, there is God's super that comes on your natural that makes what you are doing different, that makes it unique, that makes people turn to you and say, I don't know why, but I like your own food. I don't know why, but I like your own work. I don't know why, but I just like you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the psalmist was writing, he said, I become a wonder to many. He said, but you are the reason. The Amplified says, I become as a wonder and surprise to many. You know, there are people that have been written off. People don't think they can amount to many, so to anything. But when they are seeing them, and they are seeing the things that they have achieved, they are thinking to themselves, I never thought he would make it there. I never thought she would become this. I never thought he would have a degree. I never thought he would ever get married. I never thought, you understand what I'm saying? You are becoming a wonder and a surprise. And God's plan is that you and I will be wonders and surprises to our generation in the name of Jesus. And how we do it is that we cannot believe just in our effort. We must believe on God's super coming on our natural. Are you still there? We must believe that when we are doing something, it goes beyond us. There's a reason why Pastor Funke will be the first HOD, female HOD, Abby. Now, if I ask, and I like to ask some people some questions like that, I say, if you rewind to 15 years ago, would you ever have written that and said that this, you expect that to happen? What that means is that there are things in your life, and there are things in the life of every believer that you should be looking at, and other people are looking at it already, that should be a surprise even to you. What I mean is that everything about your life should not be explainable by natural circumstances. Are you hear what I'm saying? There are stories you should be able to tell, and people will be wondering, Even you'll be wondering when you are sitting down by yourself and you are thinking about it, you are wondering to yourself, how did I get this done? That's what he meant by I become as a wonder and a surprise to many. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? Your story is incomplete if we can explain everything about it. There have to be things that we will be stumbling. We will be struggling. If we try to explain it naturally, we'll be trying to explain and it won't make sense. Are you still there? It just won't make sense. You know, somebody sat with me one day And this is a senior colleague. He came from Canada and he was talking to me. And he began to ask me questions. He said, how come you are the executive secretary of the Nigeria Academy of Science? He said, how come you are this? How come you did this? So I began to laugh. I said, honestly, I don't have a clue except that God did it. You hear what I'm saying? I said, because if I look at everything, there was no plot. You know, some people are amazing people. They have 5-year plan, 10-year strategy plan, 15-year plan. 15-year, I'll do this, and then I do this, then I do this. Amazing people. Some of us don't. We only have God's plan. You hear what I'm saying? And we just go as God leads us. And all I can say is, God. So I began to tell him how this happened and that happened and how it is not likely to have happened. Because really, I do not qualify. Are you hearing me, anybody? You know, when they were asking me to take over in my office, our funders were telling the chair of the board, which is the president, they said, we can't work with this person. Who was the person in charge? They said, we can't work with that person. You have to get rid of him. You know the questions those one asked them? They said, where will we find anybody to replace him? And those people said, ask Doyin to do it. The people said, ask Doyin to do it. They said, yeah, ask him to run the place. They said, if you ask him to do it, we will stay with you. If you ask him to do it, we will not pull our funding. Are you hear what I'm saying? And you could see the doubt written all over them that, really, 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 really? Are you still here, anybody? But that ought to be our story. People ask, how did you come to chair Association of Public Health Physicians in Lagos? I said, I don't know. Because I didn't qualify there. I didn't go to school there. I didn't practice there. I didn't know doctors there. Even up to now, when people call me and they say, I'm looking for clinical. I say, honestly, if you are talking Ibadan, I can talk better to you. I say, but you are talking Lagos. I don't know. Are you there? But I chaired the Association of the Doctors. How? His favor. Are you with me? You know, there was somebody that I had some real... it wasn't real difference. She was trying to nail me on something. And rather, I was meticulous. I took my time. And when I gave a comprehensive response, because I first tried to give, warnings to say, don't do this, don't do this, don't go down this road. And I kept saying, I'm just cutting a long story short. And then eventually, I had to do a comprehensive response. Detailed. When I did it, she was in America. She was shaking. When the response got there, they said she was shaking. Somebody who knew said she shouted and called him. And he said he told her, I warned you to leave that guy alone. You know. Now, that same person, years down the line, recommended me for something very big. And told the person who she was telling, she said, look, that one was looking for some very big name people. And she said, no, don't take any of them. She said, take this guy. Take him. You will like working with him. That is favor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is favor. If you go to the Bible and you begin to read the stories of people, it is incomplete without the favor of God. That's why I'm talking about God's plan for your increase. Now, God's plan for your increase is not your hard work. He wants you to work hard, but it's totally ingrained in the Bible. He says, in all labor, there is profit. Proverbs 14:23. All labor, there is profit. Whatever your hands find to do, do it well with all your might. Ecclesiastes 9:10. So it's all ingrained in the Bible, but that is not God's plan entirely, that your progress will be dependent entirely on just your own hard work. God's plan is that something will extra, which only comes from God, will be on what you are doing. And why I'm talking about this is that you will have to believe for it. You will have to expect it to be so. Are you hear what I'm saying? You will have to wake up expecting that when I do something, people will like it. When I write a report, they will think it's great. When I do this, they will think it's fantastic. When I sing, they will just like my voice. Are you still here, anybody? And when you look in the Bible, so you look at the story of someone like Abraham, for instance. Abraham was so confident. You know, from Genesis 15, God spoke to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. What was he saying? He said, Abraham, if you are looking for reward, Nami. Are you still there? If you are looking for reward, Nami. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 6, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added. What is God saying? He's saying, just look for me. When you get me, you get it all. So he told Abraham. Abraham was wondering, I don't have that. And God said, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Now, Abraham walked in the consciousness of that all through his life. Are you still there? You know, many times we speak, and I'm trying not to, but we speak as preachers, and we assume everybody knows everything, including all Bible stories. You know, so sometimes I try to say a little background, knowing that not everybody knows all Bible story, whether freshers or stillites, you know, in the kingdom of God. Some are freshers, so they won't know. Some are stillites, but they don't read the Bible. So they also won't know. Are you with me? So bear with me. Abraham had gone to war. Okay? But let's not start from there. Abraham had his nephew with him when God had told him, go, I will show you a land and I'll bless you. Alright? Abraham took his nephew Lot with him. And at some point in time, their business grew very well. Their farming business became very big, very prosperous. And then their workers began to fight among themselves. They began to fight. They fight for space, fight for all of that, fight for grass for the sheep and all that. And then Abraham said to Lot, he said, you know what? We can't be fighting like this. It's not good. It's not right. He said, so we have to separate. And then he said to Lot, he said, you look all around you and choose. Choose any part of the land. He said, if you choose this way, I will go this way. If you choose this one, I will go this way. You know what that told me? Abraham had some confidence that was not natural. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, you know, my children will fight when you give them food. I tell them to share. So, they will share. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Then they will share, they will look. My daughter will look from all angles and weight, or maybe it's Coke, you know, then you put the bottle and the cup that you poured it into, you put them side by side. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Then you look, you bend, this way, you say, this one is more than that one, then you pour a little bit more, you know, and then you try to do it, you say, do it equally, make sure it's equal, make sure it's equal. And then, my daughter is the one that will hang around most times, so you say, oh, share this with your brother, and then she would have shared it in, and she would take one. So my wife will say, no. Whoever shares it will be the last person to take. So you know what that ensures? Accuracy. It ensures accuracy. You will, if I almost count grain of rice, you understand what I'm talking about? Because you don't want to lose out. Because if you share it, you will be the second to take. The other person will take first. So you will make sure it is very equal. Are you with me? Now, Abraham didn't operate with Lot that way. Abraham said to Lot, take anyone you want. Whichever one you take, I won't argue. I will take the opposite. And Lot looked. He looked with ants in his eyes. You know what we mean? Elojukokoro. He looked with ants in his eyes. And he looked, you know, remember that in the Middle East, this is desert. He looked at the part that was green, the part that had all the grass, the part that had all the forest, the part that had all the trees. And he said, that's the one I'm going to take. Abraham said, it's okay, go. That's confidence. Remember, I'm talking about the fact that you have to have confidence that there's something extra that is on the work of your hands. You are not dependent on the natural. So I tell people, I don't fight for anything. I don't even fight for salary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't fight for anything because I don't expect that my increase is coming from there. He said promotion doesn't come from the south, the east, the north. I mean, he said it comes from God. One says every man seeks the ruler's favor. But justice for everyone is from God. So I don't fight. I don't fight because I work for God. I depend on God. I serve God. And my reward comes from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why the Bible was writing. Is that 1 Corinthians 6? And it was talking about the fact that how come even among brethren you fight one another and you go before a judge? A pagan judge, an unbelieving judge. He said, why can't you suffer yourself to be defrauded? Why can't you allow yourself to be cheated? What's the big deal? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Lot started off better than Abraham. Don't forget that Abraham was the one that took Lot with him. God called Abraham, not Lot. So Lot was enjoying from the grace and the favor and the kindness of Abraham, but he decided to choose the greener pasture. And Abraham says, okay. Shortly after Lot was in trouble, they had gone, attacked the place, captured Sodom and taken everything away. And then Abraham went to fight and he recovered everything. And when he recovered it, the king of Sodom came to him and said, look, you can take all the food, take all the animals, take all of that. Just give me back the people. Remember his confidence. Abraham said, no. Take everything. He said, but because I will not allow anyone to say I made Abraham rich. What was he thinking about? That God will make Abraham rich. And none of you is going to get part of that glory. Are you still with me, anybody? So you work as hard as you want, but God will bless the work of your hands. That is supernaturally. Hallelujah. You think about Jacob. You know, I was thinking of Jacob. Jacob worked 7 years. For a wife. So he worked 7 years to be able to marry the boss's wife. I mean the boss's daughter. If you can work 7 years with no salary, just to get the boss's daughter, you must be a hard worker. You must be a diligent. I mean, you can imagine every month no salary. But you are waiting for the seventh year. You can't be faking it. You must be a good worker. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. But after he had married the two daughters, his boss, Laban, said to him in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27, he said, I have discovered by experience that God is blessing me for your sake. What he's saying is that my business is experiencing something that is supernatural that even I can't explain. The only explanation is that there is something on you. Are you still there? You know, I was telling somebody recently, I said, you know, if I do an interview, you don't take me in a job or some opportunity or whatever, what kind of opportunity is it? I say to myself, it's a pity. They don't know what they missed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't go away and I'm just sad. No. I just say to myself, they don't know what they missed. Because if they had me in their boat, I'm bringing something that is not natural into that thing. Are you still there? You know, I can, but time is running out. But we can talk about several examples, including David himself that wrote the Psalms that we're talking about. The Bible says when they were looking for somebody to come and play for the king, they said, look, there are several skillful people. There were several skillful people. So David was a skillful person himself. But then they said something else that distinguished him. They said, and the Lord is with him. They said, he can play, he can do all of that. They said, but and the Lord is with him. Guess what? What got him the job is, and the Lord is with him. Are you still there? Not the skill. In fact, when they were going to anoint, when Samuel went there to anoint a king for Israel, and he got to the place, the Bible says that he was not the most qualified. Did you read that in your Bible? He said he wasn't the most qualified. In fact, when the prophet entered the place, and he saw the first one, Eliab. Kingy. I mean, the guy came out and the prophet said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. It means that guy was way more qualified. The favor of God pulls out your file, pulls out your CV, and takes it above everybody else that is way more qualified. Are you hearing me? You know what the prophet said when he got there? He said, bring out your sons. Bring all your sons to this ceremony. God has sent me. And David's father brought out his sons, Jesse. And he didn't bring David. He was with the sheep. So what was David? It means that even the father, when they said bring your sons, didn't count him worthy to be among the sons. He left him with the sheep. But guess what? When the prophet kept going from Eliab, the most qualified, to the next most qualified, to the next most qualified, and God said, no, 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 no. The prophet began to get confused. So I thought I heard the voice of God. I thought God told me to come here. God, I've gone through every son and you said no. Then he looked at Jesse. He said, do you still have another son? Because he was confused. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's Bible. He was confused. He said, do you still have another son? Do you have yet another son? And Jesus said, yes, he's with the sheep. He said, we will not sit down until he comes. Are you with me? There are things that will not happen until you show up. They will hold up things and say, until we see him, until we hear from her, until we get his own opinion on this matter, we are not going to take a decision. That is his favor. That is God's plan for your increase. Are you with me? You know, it's the same way they picked Joseph from the prison. They picked Joseph from the prison and they looked at it, they had a problem, it could not be solved. Except they go look for the prisoner. That's when somebody says, oh, jigby, jigby. King, there's some guy, but he's in prison. They had to go bring him from prison. They had to wait for him to shave and put on a nice garment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then go there. And when he went there and he told the king, this is the interpretation of what you saw. The king said, so what do we do? He said, find the man and put him in charge. Let him put up storage 20% of everything that you are producing now for the time of the famine. The king said, who is wiser than you? So which man are we talking about? It has to be you. I mean, there's no other man. There's no point doing an interview. It's you. Are you hear what I'm saying? Listen, what was his experience? Experience was what? Slave. Abi? That's what was in his CV. Slave. One. From year so-so and so to so-so and so slave in Potiphar's house. Abi? Second experience was what? Prisoner. Then third one, chief prisoner. Abi? And then from there, appointed to be what? Prime minister. Who says that everything has to follow proper protocol? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Who says? I've met people before who say, that thing, I don't know. I don't know whether I can apply. I say, apply. What's wrong with you? Apply. Apply. Say, I don't have it. I say, apply. You want it? Apply. You don't even know whether that year is only you that will apply. I say, just put it in. Don't worry yourself. Are you with me, anybody? And expect the favor of God to be on the things that you do. Hallelujah. Listen, God's plan for our increase, for our progress, is that his favor will work for us. And that means that get ready for many things to begin to happen to you. Expect them to happen, believe for them to happen, and see them happen accordingly. Hallelujah. You know, somebody was saying the other day, when they ask you, can you do this? Don't say no. Say yes. Can you do this job? Yes. And say, God, you teach me. Hallelujah. Because they have come looking for you already and say, we have this job. Can you come? But can you do it? And you already came to look for me now. I will do it. No problem. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And if you have to burn the midnight for it to read about it, you read. And God, the mind of God will kick into play. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says that he knows the numbers of the stars and he calls them by name. So it's not just knowing the number, he knows each one by name. Do you know how many stars there are? And then he calls each one by name, each one by name. And then he says, you have the mind of Christ. He said, who is he that is wise enough that he may instruct God? He said, but we have the mind of Christ. What's he trying to say? He says, our mind is like that. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet tonight.